Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, we're beginning in verse 21. And this is God's word. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. This series of verses tells us about a number of things. The first is Jesus' complete obedience, submission to the law of God. And you say, well, he was just eight days old. It wasn't exactly his choice. God had put him in a godly home where even before he could act on his own, he was going to be circumcised and a sacrifice made on his behalf in keeping with the law of the Lord. Throughout Jesus' life, he would perfectly fulfill the law of God. Perfectly. Unlike every one of us, he never sinned. He perfectly obeyed the Lord and fulfilled the law. Even when it came time to be baptized by John the Baptist, his cousin, John's going to say to him, look, you should be baptizing me. Why are you coming down here to be baptized? You know, this is a baptism of repentance. Jesus had never sinned. But even there, Jesus identified with us and answered John saying, it is to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus, throughout his life, would fulfill all righteousness. He would do exactly what he was supposed to do, all the time. And so on the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he's then given the name officially that was directed by the angel before he was even conceived. And when they went to the temple in order to offer a sacrifice, the sacrifice that they offered was not a lamb. Was it because that wasn't something that was directed? No, it's because Mary and Joseph apparently were poor financially. The sacrifice that they offered was what you could offer if you couldn't afford to bring a lamb. This was the sacrifice of a poor family. But for some reason, Simeon recognized this is the Messiah. This little baby is the Messiah, not Joseph. This little child, this is what we've been waiting for. God had promised Simeon that he would not die until he got to see the Messiah, the Lord's Christ, the promised one. And he recognized Jesus as the fulfillment of that promise, the fulfillment of not just his longing, but the longing of all those who loved God and believed his promises. Now, he's an older man. He was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, that is, the arrival of Messiah. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon realized this is the one. This is the promised one.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents, and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere, and everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread his word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out.
Let me give you today's main point. And it applies to what happens with Anna as well. The Holy Spirit will always lead you to Jesus. You don't have to worry that you're going to go wrong if you're yielding your life to him. Well, How do I know? Ask him. Ask him to show you. Don't be asking for direction if you're not willing to read what he's already said. The reason we study the scriptures is so that we recognize the leading of the Lord. But God is leading people out of Islam with visions, with dreams that point them to Jesus. Many of them have been pointed simply to the New Testament. And as they've started reading God's word, the one they encounter is the risen Christ. Sometimes they're being directed to churches where they hear the gospel and they trust in Jesus. Let me just tell you, God, right now, globally, is bringing in a harvest. There are people all around the world who are faithfully proclaiming the gospel, even in places where they're putting their lives on the line in order to do it. God is at work. When the Holy Spirit is working, he will always, always, always bring you to Jesus. All the scriptures point to him. Jesus would open the minds of his followers after the resurrection and walk them through the Bible and help them to see how passage after passage, promise after promise, story after story points to Jesus. God is at work, and all the scriptures point to him. And the Holy Spirit is the author. All scripture is God-breathed. And the Holy Spirit is the breath of God. He is God the Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And God the Spirit gave us his word to lead us to Jesus. If you believe this, you're going to find Jesus. If you don't believe this, then no matter how much evidence there is, you're still not going to believe, because you don't want to. You don't want to. I've shared with you the story before about the woman who was always telling one of our church members that she admired his faith, but she just has too many questions, too many things that keep her from believing. And so he asked her if she'd be willing to talk to me, and asked me if I'd be willing to talk to her, and we both said yes. So we met at her home, and the guy from our church was there. And she began asking questions, and God in his mercy gave me good answers for her. And question after question, the Lord would give an answer, and she would say, "Oh, well, yes, that makes sense." Over and over, it was like she's getting it. She's understanding. She's believing it. And after a number of questions, I said, "Do you have another question?" She said, "No." She said, "You've answered all my questions." And I said, "So would you like to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior?" She said, "No." And I said, "Why?" And she said, "I don't know why I don't want to believe." And I said, "Do you realize what you just said? You don't want to believe. That is the problem. I can't solve that for you." You see, the human heart, apart from God, is hostile toward God. Not indifferent. You can pretend to be indifferent, but it's pretense. It's not reality. If God is God, if Jesus Christ is Lord, nothing else matters by comparison. Nothing else. So anybody with half of an IQ point would want to know, is this true? Because if it is, my life has got to change. But that's precisely why people don't want to know. Because they want to keep things the way they are. Even when they're miserable, they still want to hold on to that false sense, I'm in control. I'm my own boss. I can do what I want. Utter rubbish. The Holy Spirit is the one who draws us to the Lord. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives us a new heart, regenerates us. The Holy Spirit is the one who opens our eyes so that instead of being spiritually blind, we can see. Oh, it's true. I remember a young woman who said to me years ago, my wife and I had been praying for her for ages, and we'd gotten to where we didn't talk about the Lord with her anymore because she just would not listen. So we just prayed. If we couldn't talk to her about the Lord, we could talk to the Lord about her. And we did, a lot. My mom was praying for her too. And one day she said, Jim, I need to talk to you. We sat down to talk and she said, I don't understand it. A month ago, I didn't care anything about God or Jesus or any of that stuff. And she said, but now all of a sudden, all I can think about is if this is real, I need to know Jesus. What's happening to me? And I said, what's happening is that the Holy Spirit has quickened you. And you are coming to life. And now you want to know the truth. And she sat there weeping and she heard the truth and she trusted Christ. The Holy Spirit will always lead you to Jesus. Well, I don't know. I think maybe, you know, that there are many paths to God. The different religions are just different ways of getting to God. That's straight out of the pit of hell. That is an absolute lie. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. I am going to go with Jesus. Okay? Pastor Wood, be careful. You don't want to judge. This judges. This is the authority. It's not me. God's Word. Jesus is the only way. There is no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. There's no other way. No other way of salvation. Jesus is the one. Well, what if you're a Hindu? Then you need to meet Jesus. Well, can we just add him into our assemblage of gods we like? No. No. Those who worship idols worship demons. That's what Scripture says in the Old and New Testament. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, quotes it from the Old Testament. It's true. So you're saying these other things that people follow are evil? Yes. Well, I mean, you're making it sound as if, you know, the way is narrow. Jesus said the way is narrow that leads to life. And few people find it. Well, how can I find it? The Holy Spirit will always lead you to Jesus. The Holy Spirit will always lead you to Jesus. Well, how do I do that? God promises this, if with all your heart you truly seek me, you will ever surely find me. Thus saith the Lord. That's God's promise. Do you want the truth? I remember being with my son Andrew in India. And he asked a fellow, he asked a number of people while we were there, but he asked one fellow in particular. I remember he said, if what you believe is not true, would you want to know that? Would you want to know it? If what I'm telling you that goes against what you've always believed, if what I'm telling you is the truth, would you want to know that? And it's remarkable. Some people will say, yes, if it's the truth, I want to know it. Guess what happens to those people? They find the truth. They get saved because the Holy Spirit will always lead you to Jesus. But tons of people say no. If what you're saying is true, I don't want to know it. If what I believe is not true, I don't want to know that. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 says, if Jesus Christ has not been raised from the dead, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. If in this life only we have hope in Christ Jesus, we are to be pitied more than all men. There is only one reason to believe the gospel, and that is because it's true. It's true. Say, well, I would just like to believe it because it makes me feel better. Well, it won't about the time that they want to come and cut your head off. You might want to reconsider it at that point, okay? Well, are there really people who would do that? Yes, it's happening right now around the world. We have brothers and sisters in Christ who are being slaughtered for their faith in Christ. Well, then I really need to know if it's true or not. Yes! Yes, you do. So what are you going to do to find out? Well, I've got a lot of homework, and I want to recommend something. Ask him. If Jesus really is alive, and he has promised whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, if you go to him and say, Lord, I want to know. I want to know if it's real. I want to know if it's true. And start reading this book. And as you do so, God will show you the truth. I had a fellow years ago who was really furious with me because I was teaching that to receive Jesus is not just to receive him as the one who forgives our sins. It's to receive Jesus who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you need to surrender your life to him. This guy was furious. He said, I can't believe that Gordon College is allowing you to teach. Okay, I wasn't faculty. I was just on staff. But I was teaching a Bible study, and this guy was just incensed. He was absolutely furious that I would say, you need to receive Jesus as Lord. You need to yield your life to him. He was furious. He thought that was heresy. And I said, well, I'm glad you came to speak to me about it. Let me ask you to do something. Pray and ask the Lord to show you whether I'm right or whether what you've been taught previously is right. And then read your Bible this week and let me know what you find. And he said, well, where do you want me to read? I said, anywhere you want. I said, just pray and ask the Lord to show you and then start reading your Bible. I said, I want to see you next week and you tell me. Well, we didn't have to wait till next week. A couple of days later, I'm walking into the cafeteria there at Gordon, and this guy comes running across the cafeteria yelling, Jim! Jim! It's amazing! He said, it's everywhere I looked. How could I have missed it? And I said, the important thing is God's shown it to you now. The Holy Spirit will always lead you to Jesus. And let me tell you what you'll find. You'll find someone who came to save, not to condemn you. God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but so that through him the world might be saved. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You'll find someone who has every right to condemn you, but chose instead to take your guilt and mine and receive the punishment that was due to us. And then, having died on the cross in our place, he conquered death. The stone was rolled away not to let Jesus out, but to show that he had risen. Jesus Christ is Lord. And one day, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Don't wait till then. Now, while you have the opportunity, put your trust in Jesus and surrender your life to him.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41abide. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.